Roman blood that night on the battlefield. Start that I'm just so overwhelmed this morning, blessed and just feeling good. I got all my children.
Come on now.
A whole lot of my children I think about all the time. Thank you, Anita. You don't know what that means to you. As people will say, Lord knows I try. Hear you say that. Yes, and we certainly appreciate that. Keith, that's my other son over there. I got Siri in the house now because he gone.
Keith is here.
Yeah. And I know that we talked many times before, and I know that the time that he came down, both of them came around the teenage time. About the time they start smelling this stuff. I love them both. I'm so glad to see you here this morning. I'm sure that God has a word for you. Glad to see all of my people here that are here. Some are still missing, but visitors are filling in for us this morning. I come this afternoon giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend Riley, Reverend McMillan, my lovely wife, my beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility. Stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for until you come, there's nothing to say. Speak, Lord, for someone is waiting for a word. Speak, Lord. Someone needs to hear from you. Someone is crying on the inside. Speak, Lord. Discern our concerns, Lord. You know each one of us. You know us by name. You know the thoughts of our mind. You know the meditations of our heart. Speak, Lord, to our concerns. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove, and light on this place. Light on this pulpit. Light on me, Lord, and say a word. Use me, Lord. Any way that you see fit, Lord God, do with me what you wish. But speak a word, for we are in need of a word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray myself happy then. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke. Chapter 10. And pray with me as we go. This has been a busy week, and God was speaking throughout the week. Chapter 10. I'll start with verse 25. This reads thusly. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? I could use that as a topic. So why don't we just use that as a topic? And who is my neighbor? And then right underneath that in parentheses, I'll put what I got wrote on my paper here. Put in parentheses, is, let's talk about love. It's all about love. That's really all there is. That's what this whole journey is. It's all about love. Amen. Everything else falls apart. When nothing else seems to work, love will. Love never fails. That's what Corinthians, love chapter tells us, that love never fails. And it's in times like these that with so much going on in the world and in individual lives. I think I said last week that the world's problems are there, and sometimes you get engrossed in them and you look at those, but then when personal problems hit you, you don't have time to deal with the problems of the world. You have to deal with your own problems, those problems right there in your own household, relationship issues, mother-child, father-child, those kinds of things. Those kinds of things that sometimes just overwhelm you. So much going on and so many things happening so quickly. I think about the children that's being separated at the border, and they're God's children.
Yes.
You know, it's easy sometimes just to disregard them, and that's what people would have you to do, but you're talking about children being separated from their parents.
Come on now.
You that have children, if you just say, imagine with me for a moment that if someone just took your child and separated them from you, you may or may not ever see them again. You think about this world, a leader that's just full of hate. A world that's sometimes confusing and full of chaos. I was reminded of a song that many years ago, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. The song where that goes and says, we don't need another mountain. He talks about the mountains and the meadows, but coming from Sunday school, I just said that we can say things like, well, we don't need more of, we don't need any more technology now to make our lives easier. Y'all stay with me. You might need it for some, but you don't need it to make your lives any easier. Now, if it got any easier, I don't know what we would do now. Wow. Yeah. We don't need any new restaurants to choose from. Sunday school was talking about clothes and stuff. We certainly don't need any more stuff and things to hoard. more freezer space so we can pack it full of food that we may never eat. We certainly don't need any more of that, but what the world needs now is love. I think we got enough of all the other stuff. Just one thing that's love. And you look at love, see, love is an action word, as Reverend Mack says many times. Love is an action word. You don't just talk about love. Love does things.
It's,
you know, don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me.
Yes.
Matthew 7:12 is an example of expressing love. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So when you see somebody in need, just think about, if that were me, what would I want somebody to do for me? If I'm out in the cold, and just maybe a coat would help me, but what would I want somebody to do for me? And Paul says, never look down on a man unless you're helping them up. Otherwise, look away if you have to, but don't look down on a man unless you are helping him up. Do to him what you would have him do unto you. It's all about love. God is love.
Yes, he is.
Let me go a little bit deeper in that. Just digress here a minute. That Jesus is God. And for us who claim to be Christian, Jesus is in us to empower us and to make us disciples of Christ. If we walk in him, we would be his disciples. We do as he commands us, we would be his disciple. And so God gives us the power to love and the command to do so. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a simple command. Just briefly this day, I want to raise two questions to you today. The first question is, why should we obey God's command? Well, the lawyer in our scripture this morning said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why should we obey God? Romans gives us a reason. Romans 5 and 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, he loved us before we loved him.
Well,
can anybody identify with being down and feeling alone or going through something where you just don't know how you're going to get through? You just don't know how it's going to come out, and you're about at your lowest point in life. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to turn to but God.
All right.
In due time, he touched you. He came out and he said, oh, just hold on a minute. I can get you out of this.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Thank you. Romans goes on, Paul in Romans says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die?
Well.
Yeah, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But listen to what God did. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
Much more than then. Now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And for you that's making notes, take that word and break it apart. Say, atonement. It's just what it means. At one minute. It just says if you have given in to God, if you have submitted, then you are at one with God. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed that we could be one just like he and the Father are one. So we would have power to go through anything we need to go through. It's not just words. When God says it in his word, that's what he means. At one with Jesus and God, when you're at one, you are empowered to do all things. Is that what the Bible says? If in Christ, I can do all things. Without him, I can do nothing. So why should we obey God's commands? Because he loved us when we didn't love him. Yet in sin. Then John offers us another reason that we should obey God's commands. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 16 says, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So why should you obey God's commands? Because we want to please God. If not for his sake, for our own sake. How? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Obey God's commands. And then the second question that we want to address today is, who are my neighbors?
Reach.
And who are my neighbors? The scripture says, And he, as the lawyer, willing to justify himself. You know how we do.
Yes.
We take the Bible and try to twist it and turn it and make it justify what I want to do right now. Now, tomorrow I might come back to you with the I'm Holy Ghost filled man and tell you where you're wrong. But when I'm doing something, I make the Bible fit what I'm doing. So willing to justify himself, he challenged Jesus. He said, and who is my neighbor? It's verse 28. Jesus affirms that the lawyer's answer is correct. But Jesus' reply tells the scribe that he has given a scripturally supportive answer. But then it goes on in verse 28 to tell him that this kind of love requires more than an emotional feeling. It would also include a scripturally proper practice. In other words, he would need to practice what he preached.
Well,
the scribe was an educated man. And he realized that he could not possibly keep the law. Nor would he have necessarily wanted to keep the law. There would always be people in his life that he could not love. That's all for me, to any of y'all. Hard to love that person. So he tries to limit the law's command by limiting its parameters and asking Jesus, so who is my neighbor? So I'm gonna see if I can get Jesus to find Tony so he can tell me that the people around me and the people who like me, the people who associate with me, tell me something I want to hear that. Those are my neighbors, but
45.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah, help Lord. See, the word neighbor in the Greek means someone who is near.
All right.
And in the Hebrew, it means someone that you have an association with.
Okay.
But this interprets the word in a limited sense, and referring to a fellow Jew, and would have excluded the Samaritans and Romans and watch this, and other foreigners.
It would have
excluded them. And who is my neighbor? So Jesus then gives the parable of the good Samaritan to correct the false understanding that the scribe had of who his neighbor is and what his duty is to his neighbor.
Yes.
And who is my neighbor. And Jesus answered him, said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. And departed, and leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Religious man.
And likewise a Levite. When he was at that place, he came and looked on him. And passed by on the other side.
Went on his way.
You see, look at, I said all priests and Levites all were selected from the tribe of Levi. So
come on now.
Not all Levites are priests, but those Levites who are not priests were assigned duties connected with the tabernacle. In other words, they were all church folk.
Talk about
that's right. You all church folk, and they passed by on the other side. Hallelujah. Just think of some of the excuses they may have made. This road is too dangerous for me, Reverend MacMillan.
All right now.
I can't stop and help this man because something might happen to me. It's a dangerous road.
Yes.
I don't know. This could be an ambush. They could be setting me up. He could just be acting like it's something wrong with him. Yes. You know how we do when they're on the people standing on the corners and we, that's just me, I'm sure. He probably getting what he deserved. He know he knew what he was doing when he got himself in the situation. He chose to be. Besides that, I got to get to the temple. I got to preach today.
Yeah,
it's almost 11 o'clock. I ain't got time to be stopping to help somebody on the way. I got to get to church. I got somewhere to go.
Yes, yes. Right. Make it plain.
Got to go serve the Lord. Reverend Riley.
Come on now.
Got to get to church. Serve the Lord. Got time to be out here with this man out here. He shouldn't have been out here like I said.
All right.
I'm on my way home. And hadn't seen my family in a while. I got to get on home and see my family. Just making excuses. Besides that, if I do help him on the way to temple, I might get blood on my clothes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of reasons I don't need to help him. Besides all of that, I don't know first aid. Looks like a hopeless case to me. I just don't see how I could do. I don't know what I could do for him. You know how we justify ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm just here by myself. If I had Gerald and Reverend Mac with me, then the three of us might be able to do something, but I'm by myself. There's nothing that I can do. So who is your neighbor?
Who is your neighbor?
I could pray for him.
Yeah.
But they tell me I don't have to be. I can pray from anywhere. I can pray from a distance. So I'll pray for them when I get to where I'm going.
Come on, man. Yeah.
It don't sound familiar. That's
true.
Real life?
Yep.
Bought it on himself. And besides all of that, he was laying there, and he didn't ask for my help anyway.
Uh-oh. If he'd only asked me.
If he'd asked me, I would have stopped. But all of these are just simply excuses.
Yeah.
Spurgeon says, I never knew a man refuse to help the poor who failed to give at least one admirable excuse.
One admirable excuse. Okay.
Is that right? Uh-huh. Y'all think about it. Damn if it's just me. But when you pass that guy on the corner, like I've done 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. But when you pass him on the corner, you think all kinds of logical thoughts. Why? Justify that. I got this dollar in my pocket that I'm not going to do anything much with it anymore because you can't do much with it.
No, not in this current time.
But this joker might be trying to beat me. He just trying. He got as much money as I do, and he's just trying to beat me. But we can come up with 1,000 reasons why we shouldn't. I ain't talking about nobody.
But
a certain Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand. The Samaritans.
Come on, talk about this.
And the Jews didn't get along.
That's wrong.
Like the Americans and.
Everybody else.
Well.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was.
Come on, talk about it.
And when he saw him, he had compassion.
Yes.
Samaritan. one that hate Jews, and here's a Jew lying there bleeding, having been robbed and beaten up, and here comes one of those folk that he talked about, and he called them filthy, he called them half-breed dogs. That's what they called the Samaritans. They were dogs and half-breeds. They were lower class. They were not as good as Jews were. But the Samaritan looked on him with compassion. He said, "And who is your neighbor?" And when he went to him and bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast.
Yes.
And brought him to an inn and took care of him.
Yes, sir.
And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, took money out of his own pocket, and gave it to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him." Pause for a minute just to think about those little ones down at the border.
Yes.
It does something to me when you just think about them, that they found a whole pile the other day covered up under those little pylon blankets, and yet you got the priest and the Levite, we might call them evangelicals, and
come on now,
that's passing by on the other side and have nothing to say, and it's not my problem, but who is
your neighbor?
Yes. That same one that you were talking about. You asked this Jew that was laying there bleeding, that you ask him, the Samaritan, the one that he's talked about, the one that he had nothing to do with, but it was the Samaritan that was there when he needed him.
That's right.
Who is your neighbor? Any preacher, I think most of them on the same page. I found out I was on the right page just looking at the news, and William Barber and another minister that was, they challenged. They said, all preachers this Sunday ought to be preaching about love. I said, well, thank you, Lord, because I'm in the right spot. But he said, everybody, that goes for all Christians, ought to be moved to compassion. It's because it's who we are. Love your neighbor.
Yes.
Treat your neighbor like you want to be treated. He departed from him. He left money, he said, and take care of him. And keep the charges, and whatever thou spendest more than I have given you, when I come again, I will repay that too.
Yes, come on.
But take care of my neighbor. And then Jesus looked at him. He said, now, which now of these three think if thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Who is my neighbor? As I close, I just want to read a scripture out of that same scripture that our leaders have been using to justify what they are doing.
Yes.
But I want to just move down a verse further than they went. They went so far, but right after that it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And finally, verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
That's right.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's simple. All we got to do is love. Every time we see a situation, look at it through the eyes of love. Is there something that God would have me do in this situation? Or does it take an effort for me to turn my back? Find a reason to keep my $2 in my pocket.
But he'll give you abundance more.
Absolutely. 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 You don't have to worry. If you trust in God, you don't have to worry about your supply. He will give you an endless supply. Love your neighbor as thyself. And who is your neighbor? I'll leave that with you. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, he who knows all and sees all. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were unlovable.
Yes, God, thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for loving us in spite of ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for sharing your love with us, giving us the power to express love to others. We pray now, Lord, that you would just lift us up higher, Lord, and show us your compassion that we may be compassionate to others. Oh, Lord, we now submit to you. We praise your name.
Oh, yes, we do, God.
We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.